Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Jay Armaline.
Okay, you guys ready? Buckle up. Here we go. It's hard to transition sometimes. It's funny, we were at Jesus Culture and Banning Leibcher. He talked about it too. He's like, transitioning is the hardest thing to do in a service because you don't want to miss anything. You don't want to blow it. You don't want to transition too early. And so we do the best we can to transition. But this is the time where we're going to preach the word. Amen. Okay, we've been talking about awesome more training. Absolutely. That's great. Come on, Pascal. That's good. Resilience. We've been talking about resilience. Pascal, you want to shout it out one more time?
Awesome more training.
Awesome more training. And this topic of resilience. And we've been kind of looking at different people in the Bible. We looked at Joseph, you know, the fact that Joseph had a dream that really didn't signify or tell him where he was headed, just that this random dream would say that his brothers and mom and dad would bow down. And of course, his arrogance got him into a lot of trouble. And this journey that he went on, and we talked about the fact that we don't believe that God is the creator and is the author of these horrific things that happen, but he will use things to his glory. To me, it's, you know, and I know people will argue it, and that's fine. You don't have to come and try to argue with me, but I really believe John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to give you life and life abundantly. And so there's a lot of mysteries I don't understand, but I do know that God wants to bring us life. And so when something tragic happens, I try not to. There's always a wrestle, but try not to attribute that to God. But I do say, Lord, you want to use this now for my equipping, my training, my whatever. And resilience is part of that process. We looked at David. David had it a little, it was more difficult because David knew what he was anointed for. You know, Joseph didn't know where he was headed. David was anointed to be king and then spent, they figure, 10 to 13 years running for his life. How many know that takes resilience? Absolutely. It takes a lot of resilience to understand. I want to hit it from a different angle today. So I was praying about this, and I was going to go one direction, but this morning when I got up, the Lord veered me into a completely different direction. You know, there's between what is happening sometimes in the Christian world and what is happening in social media, we often, there's phrases that we have, and don't get me wrong, I believe that we should all move forward to our full potential. But there's phrases like, this is some of the early stuff when I was thinking about this topic, but phrases like, you know, live your best life. You go on social media. One of the things about social media is that we are seeing clips of everybody's life at their best moment, right? They don't take clips at their worst moment. They take clips living their best life possible. It would be different if we actually across the world went, all right, without anybody knowing, and all of a sudden you found out, I have to take a picture right now and post it. The whole world, right? And we start to look through. I bet it would look a lot different than what we normally see. You know, the person with the hair that's all out, and they're, you know, you're like, is that even the same person? Because people will get, literally, they will dress to the nines to be able to take that picture that signifies how amazing their life is. One of the things I want to talk about today with resilience is I believe we have needed a lot of resilience when we actually shouldn't have even needed it in the first place. That we often put ourselves through our religious understanding, through our mindsets, through the goals that we think we should have, we end up falling into a lot of turmoil. Because you got to remember, resilience is needed when our life, our projected life, our hopeful life is not lining up with our current life. Puts us into a state of stress, therefore we need resilience to try to get through it. Now, there will be things in life that we will need resilience for. Let's take a second and lift somebody up right now that needs resilience. I just keep going back to it, and I thought, I want to make sure I do this. I don't know this person, somebody in our church community does, but my heart breaks for that mom who lost two sons in one moment. She doesn't have resilience for this moment, but we can be resilience for her. We can be prayers for her, right? So just for a second, Lord, we lift up this mom to you. Lord, only you know. Only you know the pain that she's in. We can all imagine as parents. So Lord, right now we lift her up to you. Lord, we pray that you would be grace and mercy and you would be love and you would be compassion and you would comfort her and you would surround her and you would somehow walk her through this. And Lord, we know that you are not the author of this, but we know you want to somehow make something beautiful possible out of this. We don't know how that could ever happen, but Lord, you want to carry her through. And so Lord, we lift her up and we ask Father God that you would carry her. In Jesus' name, amen. That is a moment where somebody needs real resilience. But I want to look at the fact that sometimes we live in a day and age and our mindsets put us in a place where we think or we do need resilience, but we really shouldn't need to be in that place. Probably a little confusing. Let me tell you a moment that's real resilient. Have anybody ever heard of Viktor Frankl? Anybody ever heard of Viktor Frankl? Viktor Frankl was he was a Jewish man. Him and his family put into concentration camps in World War II. And so in the concentration camps, he lost his dad. A little while later, he lost his mom. A little while later, he lost his wife. He wrote a book when he got out. He did survive and wrote a book, and he became, I believe, a psychologist or something in there. He wrote a book about the meaning of life. And you would know him because there's quotes that he has given that usually pass around different social medias and signs. But here he is in a place where he needed real resilience, and he had to decide, what is the meaning of life in this moment, right? What is the meaning of my life? And I can only imagine, we went through a pandemic where we were isolated in our homes, and yet had incredible technology that allowed us to connect with everyone we loved, and a society didn't know what to do for 2 years. The mental illness skyrocketed, and there are truth and reasons behind it, but my point would be, that is not a concentration camp. How many would agree with that? People tried to even equate that. I'm like, there is not even anything close, because I still slept in my bed. I still took a warm shower. I still ate food. Like, thank goodness. So part of what's happening right now is sociologists and psychologists are going, what happened to a society that couldn't handle this? What is going on? Part of that is we have not built resilience. And so here you have a man, Viktor Frankl, who is in concentration camps that decided, my life is still meaningful and I will find meaning in this moment. And he said that's what got him and his fellow prisoners through. And the ones that didn't died. But what would that meaning be in a moment like that? When you're in a concentration camp and you are being either, you're working day, sometimes night, you're in the horrendous conditions, you don't know if you're gonna die. How do you find meaning if we look at what society tells us today? So what I'd like to do, to the best of my ability, I'm gonna do it up here. I brought some props today. Props are always good, aren't they? Turn your Bibles in Proverbs while I get set up here for a second. We did a lot of what God wanted us, you know, not realizing. I didn't think we were going to go there. It wasn't in my plan, but a lot of what we needed to do based on Proverbs, we just did today. So turn in Proverbs. Proverbs 3, maybe. I'll tell you if that's the right one. Proverbs 4, and then we're going to go to, let's go actually Proverbs 23, and then we're going to go back to Proverbs 4. Proverbs 24, 23, 21, do I hear 20? Proverbs 23, why do you make this so difficult, people? Proverbs 23, verse 7 says, for as he thinks, as a man thinks, as a woman thinks, as he thinks in his heart, not mind, as he thinks in his heart, so he is. That's a baffling scripture for two reasons. One, we're thinking with our heart. Two, as you think, you become. As you think, you become. Whatever you daily think about, and this is not self-help, this is Bible. Whatever you daily think about, how you think about you is what you will become. When I was going through the years, the months, not years, thankfully, the months of kind of, I would say both when I had just this emotional really breakdown, and it was induced by different things, including medication, but nonetheless, it led me to a place of emotional breakdown. And I would say during the process of COVID, where everything got thrown upside down, church, life, everything I thought was important, these things get thrown upside down. And what I thought about every day was where I was going to end up every day. And so when I was in recovery, I actually still, I have those pages. I have 3 pages of declarations I'd make over my life every day once I finally got into that place of going, I need to do this. I didn't do them out of faith at first. I did them out of sheer willpower that I needed to do this because I needed to get through this. And I would say things like, I declare that my nervous system is whole in Jesus' name. I started with, I declare he's my healer. I declare that Jesus is my healer. And then I would just begin to write things. I declare he's my healer of my nervous system. I declare that I will be whole. Because up until that point, I was thinking of a lot of other things, right? I was becoming those other things. I was thinking like, I'll never get out of this situation. What if I never get to do anything again? Maybe I never get to speak again, never travel again. What am I going to do for an occupation? And you know, that doesn't really help you get up, right? Just keeps putting you into a pit. But when I started to make these declarations, it was incredible. I started to climb very little. The first time I did it, I felt nothing. Probably the 10th time I did it, I felt nothing. But somewhere in the 20th time, I think I started to feel hope. Because I was declaring to myself, based on God's word, as he thinks in his heart, so he is. Now turn to Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4 says this. Starting at verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. It's funny, words, eyes. You know, looking at these words. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. I love the Passion Translation and the New Living Translation. It says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Guard your heart because it determines your course. Guard your heart. What you put into your heart. Proverbs 23, how you think, what you put into your heart guards your life or does the course of your life. So he says, literally, you got to guard this thing with what you put into it. You have to put something around it, boundaries, because if you keep putting stuff in that's not me, you're going to end up on a course of life that's not me. Now, I want to talk about things in a natural way. You may not all be able to see it. I'm going to use this. What does it say? Destination. I started to think about my life, and every analogy that I'm going to use, I have walked through, so you know. This is not something I've read about. Let's start with something that we did today. Okay, let's start with this. Worthy. I said that a lot of times we find ourselves in a place of needing resilience because we are stressed out, and yet we should be in absolute peace. I'm going to give you a new syndrome. I told my wife I might become famous from this. It's an absolute new syndrome. When I, then I syndrome. Write it down. Mark the date. It's mine. There's probably already a name for it. I'm just going to tell you. When I, then I syndrome. What's that? With. Like slow today. Let me tell you about the when I, then I syndrome. Okay, we all deal with when I, then I. We deal with it more than I realize, you realize, probably more than I realize too. When I, then I, looks like this. When I get to the gym, buy that membership, then I will get into shape. When I, then I. And yet, how many have a floor that you can do exercises on at home? Right? Okay, let's take it further. How many even have a few weights at home? Raise your hand. How many have bands? How many bought something that still sits in a corner? Just raise your hand. We all have done it. My treadmill sat in the corner for a long time. We hung things on it. It was a really expensive hanger. But how many ever done, you've done it? When I, then I. When I d- do the gym. When I get a membership, then I will finally get into shape. Let's give some more here. When I get that level of success, then I will be important. Anybody ever done that one? When I get that raise, when I get that level of success, when I get a new job, then I will be important. Okay, just me. All right. When I go on vacation, then I will rest and be happy. Come on. We've all done that, right? Now, there is some truth to that. Obviously, when you get out of the area, you can rest. But how many have ever been in the place where you are looking for that to be the ultimate rest? What happens when you come back? That's the problem. We all have to come back from vacation, right? When I get that last deal, I'll be able to dial back my business, right? When I have this phone, this car, this outfit, I will feel good about myself. I'll feel popular. I'll feel like I've made it. Has anybody else ever had these thoughts? You have them more than you realize because there is often turmoil when we find our life not where we thought it was going to be. And we can easily begin to go, if I, when I will. So I want to use this example. So what I'd like to do, I've got to take off my shoe here real quick. I'm going to put the worthy in the destination. So how many wake up every day feeling worthy? Really? How many wake up every day feeling worthy with the Lord? Here we go, right here. We got one right here. This is where we often have to have resilience, but we shouldn't have to have resilience. We sang about such incredible truth all day. So the world would say this, okay? The destination is what I want to get to. The world would say, and we often as Christians, we'd say, you know what? I don't feel worthy, but when I start reading my Bible again, then I will feel worthy. When I get rid of that sin that has been just hammering me, then I will start singing in church because then I will feel worthy. And the list goes on. When my life begins to really reflect, I should be better than this, then I will feel worthy. And you know what the problem is with that? Is that's the destination. And here's the thing. We know this, and we know that that's what we have to get to with all those thoughts. If I do this, if I do that. But the problem is you go to get it, and it's like the line keeps moving. This is not going to be good. Rod, can you take those cords away? I'm just going to back my analogy up. Because the problem with that is untheological, unbiblical thinking. Because let me tell you something. If you go by that line in life, the destination will always elude you. If you think one day you could get saved because you're now good enough to get saved, the line will always be further than you can make it. And here's the thing. I have watched in church over and over again that process where people feel unworthy. You will never feel worthy if you don't have the right understanding of the Bible. Jesus came and died for your sins so you could be worthy. But in the church, I have witnessed over and over again where people want to try to get worthy enough to be with God so they can really be accepted by him. And meanwhile, he dies on a cross horrifically so you can be worthy and righteous. So often we want to try to get to that destination instead of, I start with this because of Jesus. This is mine. I am worthy for no other reason, nothing other than what he did on the cross. It's not a destination. It's mine now. And it's yours now. You are righteous because of the cross. You are worthy. Now, in this process, I get to know the Lord, and he begins to actually take things out of me. We kind of did it today at the altar. I'm sure some of you got some things that kind of, although I'm worthy, these behaviors don't always line up. Doesn't make me less worthy, but it shouldn't be part of my behavior as a Christian. So I let it go. But I don't try to chase a destination. I am worthy. Because we often say, when I, then I'll. But I want to tell you, it's because he, I am worthy. But we often have this stress in our lives. I know people that say, I'm not even sure about my salvation. I'm like, did you receive Jesus? Yes, but look at my life. Did you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Yes, I love him. Your salvation is secure. Now, maybe we need to get into some discipleship. But you being worthy is nothing based on you. It is based on Jesus. He became sin so we could become righteous. He who knew no sin became sin. So we who knew no righteousness could become righteous. Understand? So often we're trying to take, you know, trying to reach this destination. But listen, people are doing this all the time. When I, then I. So when I, you name it. When I, like I said, when you finalize that deal, when I, when I make it to this, I used to think like that as a pastor. It was in my DNA without even realizing it. And I wondered why at times I wasn't in peace. It is so, I'm just going to be completely transparent. And you're like, that's our pastor. Yeah, that's your pastor. I used to, without even realizing it, my worth would come through having somebody like Tom Crandall at our church. Tom Crandall from Bethel is here at our church. Without even realizing it, that brought my worth up. And yet I felt so unworthy. And so what I would do is Tom Crandall would be up here and I would place myself down here because I felt unworthy. Because look at all that Tom's accomplished. Look at the church that he comes from. I just put myself lower and lower. Until recently, in the last 8 years, through all that I've gone through, I began to realize that is bull. Just let me say it blunt. There is no difference between him and I. He's doing the thing that he's called to do. I'm doing the thing that I'm called to do. And I needed resilience for something I shouldn't have even needed. I was in stress because I was striving. What if, maybe one day, what if, you know, and that's that whole thing. What if, man, maybe I got to know Tom. I never thought these things meaningfully. I never even realized it, but like, well, maybe now I could get to Bethel and maybe I'll feel worthy if, and what if, but you know, there's, it's breaking. But you know what? It's an elusive line. Because you could do that with the church down the road, and you make to the church down the road, and then you make to this church and that church, and what if I had a global following? And then you need incredible resilience that you're not even supposed to need if that's not your calling. But you have set yourself up to be in that place where you are stressed all the time. Because now that I've let that go, I'm like, Lord, whether there's 100 or 20 or 5,000 or 50,000, really doesn't matter as long as I'm being obedient to what you ask. But it doesn't make me worthy, it makes me obedient. I was worthy, okay? You guys following? Oh, what can we do here? You know, this goes really along with it, worthy and value. What makes you feel valued? So often, and you know, it's the same really, the scenario. If you do all these things, you begin to feel value. I began to work with Caleb 2 years ago and with his lawn care. I'll tell you, you want a quick humbling moment. When you're doing lawn care, Jacob would know this. I'm thinking, I'm doing lawn care and I'm at Shoppers Drug Mart. I'm picking up garbage on the floor. And people are walking by. And I'm thinking, all the thoughts that I'm thinking in my head, I wonder if they're thinking in my head. You know, what? Who is this man? We didn't have any shirts or anything like that. And I began to realize I can be humbled and embarrassed pretty quick. Why? What does it matter? But those are the thoughts that were plaguing my brain. Makes you want to go, hey, Caleb, you do the garbage every time and I'll cut the grass. But I refuse to go, that is junk. I will not get my value from what I do. Because if I begin to get my value from what I do, I will never be satisfied because there's always more. There's always something that I need, something greater for value. I just had a story that it just flew out of my brain. I wanted to share. Oh, let me tell you a story. Did I tell you about Banning Leapshire? Did I share that story? I've been sharing it different places. if I start and you're like, you told us that exact story last week. Suffer. Okay. Banning Leibscher was the youth pastor at Jesus or at Bethel. They named their youth group Jesus Culture. So as they started to do, you know, conferences like we did, and you know, they weren't known. Bethel was becoming known, but Jesus Culture was not known. And then one day they filmed a video that has become famous now. It's Kim Walker singing How He Loves. If you go on there, there's this young girl, she's probably not more than 20 years old, and she belts out that song, How He Loves. You know, the one with the sloppy wet kiss. You know what song I'm talking about? That's what usually people remember it by. She goes viral. You know, back in the day, that wasn't a big thing, but she went, it's being sent everywhere. Oh my goodness, who's this girl? What's this song? And all of a sudden, Jesus Culture blows up. So now they're recording songs and, you know, albums are being produced and, you know, he's doing conferences, but they're just bigger in his house. And then one day he decides, you know, we got to take this. Like, people want us to come to their area. We're going to do a tour. So he does a tour, and these tours get bigger, but this is Banning Leibscher, the head of Jesus Culture. He birthed the ministry. He raised these kids up from literally being kids. He goes on tour, and they decided they're going to do worship, they're going to do a preach, and then they're going to do more worship. So Jesus Culture gets up, and then he's going to do the preach and salvation message. Jesus Culture gets up. Everybody loves it. This is what they know. Banning walks out. The creator, the raiser, the empowerer of these people. And he starts to preach. And he says, I kid you not, I heard voices. Who are you? Get off the stage. Bring back Jesus Culture. He's like, I am Jesus Culture. He's backstage. And somebody goes, hey, who are you? Are you the sound guy? There goes your value. And he was very blunt about it. How much he wrestled with that. Because here he is, his destination. Who doesn't want to feel valuable? And if our value is based in what we do and who we are and how many people know our name, you want to know something? It's always elusive. Because I've watched people that get 10,000 followers because that's the mark. And how many know when you get 10,000 followers, 10,000 followers isn't enough. You need 100,000 followers. And if you get 100,000 followers, it will never be enough. Ask a millionaire. A millionaire once said, if I could have $100,000 extra dollars in my bank account, I would feel rich. But when you make it, it's like $100,000. Let's push for a million. Let's push for 10 million. There's billionaires. Let's push for billionaires. There's trillion. Like, it never ends, because your value, if you make that a destination without being secure, it's elusive. The line is always ahead. You'll never find it. So where do you get your value from? Well, my value comes from whatever God has asked me to do, and my value comes from my family. And that can be difficult, but I found myself needing resilience when I didn't need resilience, because I had the wrong destination in mind. Maybe it's what you look like. You know, I'm not pleased at times when I look in the mirror and I see a bald guy staring back and I think, who are you? Because I would get my value maybe from, or the gut that began to develop over Christmas. What is this? And you could fall into when I, then I. See, that's how easy it falls into. When I lose weight, then I will feel more valuable and better about myself. Why? Because that's what the world has told me. This is what you need to look like. This is what you need to act like. This is how many followers, blah, blah, blah. Now, I want to be healthy. But if I go with the when I, then I syndrome, I will never be happy in life. I will never feel fully valuable. Whether I know, you know, I know people that talk about they've met presidents. I'm like, I used to be like, that would be so cool. And now I'm like, why would I care? And I can honestly say that because my value no longer needs to come from that. It's a wonderful place to be. I slide back and forth into the when I, then I syndrome. But I can tell you that I don't need resilience half the time. I am not burning myself out, because burnout comes with resilience. It is part of the process. And if you live in that place in your mind, you will burn out. But if you don't need to have that, and you could actually save resilience for when you really need it, I'll tell you, we would be a lot healthier people, right? What about love? When I, then I, right? Man, this is a hard one for a pastor. We have to be very careful with this because we can often, you know, we are people that want to do. We are people that want to love and fix everybody's problem. We want to fix people. I always tell people, have you ever watched the video, The Nail on the Head? The woman with the nail on the head? All the men have to go home and watch it. How many fixers are in the room? You love to fix things. It's often, women can be too, but I find that men tend to want to fix everything. And you got to watch the video because it's a woman with a nail in her head and the man just wants to pull it out. And the woman just wants to be understood. And I'm like, that is so true. Not with my wife though. Where do you get your love from? You know, it breaks my heart. I love youth and young adult ministry still to this day. How many know that you can see a lot of love happening the wrong way these days? And it doesn't have to be youth or young adults. But you know, when you don't feel valued and you don't feel worth and you really want to feel love and you think, but if I give myself to this guy, maybe I'll feel love. And how many know that that line just keeps moving? If you know, maybe it's not that guy, maybe it's this guy. Maybe if I just do what he wants me to do, maybe if I just bend my rules a little bit. Okay, maybe if I could just do everything my wife wanted to, everything all the time, and I'm using analogy, so please, but this can happen. You know, you do it and that just never feels. And maybe the wife says, if I could do all these things, maybe my husband will love me. And the problem is, when I, then I, we never get there. And what I've found is in my life, and I'm just beginning to get to a better place in this, is when I can find my love in God, when I can find my value and my worth in Him, I don't need these. Now, we got to be careful because God built community and love for a reason. But I'm telling you, if I don't start with this in my core, then I will be trying to get to that destination and it will always be elusive. Always. Now, it doesn't mean when we get this into our core that now we don't need love from anybody because Jesus built us to have love and relationships. But how many have seen this go horribly wrong? Horribly wrong. And so what I'm getting at with the scriptures, just to bring it back to scriptures so we understand, as he thinks in his heart, so he is. Guard your heart with all diligence. When we have faulty things in our heart, we will always be in stress and needing resilience when we actually don't or shouldn't be in that place. Let me read a scripture for you. Philippians. You can turn to it if you want. I'll just read it. Philippians 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. How do you get to that point? Well, if these things are out of whack and you've got earthly religious baggage that tells you how this is going to have to go, you will not be full of peace. You will be full of stress. I could do the same thing with happiness, but I won't for sake of time. We actually, when I, then I, right? When I do this, then I'll find happiness. Did you know that we actually don't really need happiness? Happiness is kind of a fluid thing. We need joy. It's funny, at the very end, I looked at Joe and he's like, that was the best chipper sound I could make. You know, he's playing the guitar, he's trying to follow. But we were just having, could you feel joy in the room? Because happiness, nothing happened in the sense of a natural thing, but everything happened in the spirit. So it wasn't happiness, it was actually joy that was happening. The last one I want to talk to, just to wrap this up. Here's the most elusive, right? Success and destiny. And I have watched, I think personally, the body of Christ get more messed up with this one than anything. And I was one of the ones that I was messed up. I was just reading a book today by somebody I really honor, and I thought, I can't see eye to eye with this anymore because everything's like, you will stay on course if you keep your destiny in mind. The problem with that is how often we could get prophetic words that we don't fully understand, but we attach our hopes and dreams. We actually write into them what we want to see happen. If you ask a prophet, they could get even feel that being pulled out of them. I have a binder that I really, really appreciate. I love the prophetic words. I read them often, but I used to read them needing resilience because I felt so bad that I didn't feel worthy. I didn't feel value because I wasn't fulfilling them. And I finally, over COVID, I'm like, none of this makes sense anymore. There are things that are happening that I'm clueless to understand. I'll call it a mystery, but I finally had to go, you know what? I believe in these words, but I'm not going to stress about them anymore. I'm going to be like Joseph and say, Lord, you show me if there's something I need to know, because I have come to learn that God really loves us. He really loves us. And if a God that loves us, he will begin to shift if we need to shift. He will teach us to veer if we need to veer. But I had so much stress in my life over not fulfilling my destiny and the success I was supposed to. And I finally went, I can't do this anymore. So I literally said, Lord, I'm sorry. If I do this wrong, I leave it up to you to correct me. But if it's okay, I'm going to pastor this church and do the best I can. Instead of thinking what else, because the words, I had some pretty big words in there about Canada and all that. I'm like, I can't anymore. I can't. But I will be faithful right here with what I can do. I will try to do it to the best of my ability and with excellence. And Lord, if there's something else that you want, every once in a while I look at those words and I'm like, Lord, if that's you, that's amazing. But Lord, just help me do this well first. Because like Joseph, if he would have been thrown into Egypt, into that place of where he, like the second in command, if he was in the pit and pulled out and put there, how many know that he would have never been able to get? He couldn't have done it. He would have crumbled out of that pressure. So I'm like, Lord, if that's you, that's awesome, but I am not going to stress about it anymore. I'm leaving it in your well-capable hands. Because when something didn't happen and I had that destination, you understand, that line, it was like I could never get to it. I could never feel fulfilled enough. And it was horrible. It was horrible. Because I would worry when somebody was here like Tom Crandall, who's just a great guy and a friend, by the way. But because of his position and the church's position and the world fame that they have, it's like I was in stress all the time. I needed resilience. My body was growing tired of needing resilience. I shouldn't have needed it in that moment. I should have been able to say, hey, bro, how you doing? And I can totally do that now. But I'd be like, I just have to feel like I have to maneuver constantly to make sure I do everything right. I'm like, well, if I don't do it right, c'est la vie. There's moments, like last week I went home and I thought about my preach and I thought, oh man, I would change that. And those days used to kill me. I let it get to me a little bit too long, but within a short time, I'm like, that's just dumb. Why am I thinking about that? As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. I'm thinking about this way too long and it's tearing me apart. Stupid. Let's go on. Let's move on. So I don't know about you and what you are needing resilience for, but I guarantee there are some things that when you get your theology and heart right, it'll be like, oh, I don't really have to stress about that anymore, do I? Just so you understand, is like, is he saying that we don't have to ever, like, not, like, we could sin all the time now? If you got that out of that, you kind of missed it. Because people do. They think really weird things. But what I am saying is that if you mess up, your worth will never, you'll never attain it through just trying to be perfect. Your worth starts with Christ, and then he works things out with you. Okay? Your success and destiny, if you are like dreading because you don't like where you're at in life, you need to go before the Lord and say, Lord, am I at where you want me to be in life? And is that okay? Like, I want to start telling people that if you're called to be a fantastic father that raises up through three or four fantastic kids, and you go to work every day faithfully, and you do excellence at your job, and you come home and you love your wife, and you serve wherever God asks you to serve faithfully, that is success and destiny. And I'm so tired, honestly, of everybody going, I just have to achieve all this. And I want to say, listen, I've been there. I've lived that. Has God called you to that? Because if he has not, you will live your life constantly in stress, and then you will need to have resilience, and you will burn out. You will burn out. Now, there are people that are called to do great things, and I think that's amazing, but I'm at the point in the life, I know well enough, if that's not God, good luck. I'm serious. I have got to that place. I'm like, I couldn't sustain it if it's not God. If it's God, he's going to walk me down that path. But right now, Lord, can I just be really faithful at Antioch? Can we just be really faithful, whatever you call us to do? And I want to close with this. And people say, are you not for revival? I think revival can have a dangerous thing to it. Revival can fall under that when I, then I category. Because I hear a lot of people go, when revival comes and healing breaks out, when revival comes, we'll see people get saved. Yes, to a greater level. But did you know that we have a move of God right now? What happened today was a move of God. You don't have to be living in, well, maybe the next Sunday, maybe later. No, God showed up here. God was touching people's lives here. I hope somebody got closer to God today because of what we did. So I don't have to think about next week. I think today was really amazing. And when I visited, I'm like, wow, there's the same anointing here. I used to go and be like, oh man, if we could only be, it feels really weird, sorry, walking with. But I used to go places and think, one day when we can be like them. You know what that does to you? It puts bitterness, jealousy, it makes you come home and look at the stuff that you have and go, oh, if only if. Instead of going, look what we have. Oh my gosh, we had a full team of worshipers today. Or it could be, look at Jacob. Jacob didn't know how to play the bass and grab the bass. And he was trying to play the bass and he made a whole bunch of mistakes the first time. But then the second time he got up there and he didn't make nearly as many mistakes. He actually plays wonderful for hardly even knowing how to play the bass. But what that used to do is I'd be like, come on, guys. Like, we need to be better because we got a destiny. Who wants to be around that? Ask the worship team. There was a season I compared myself, and I hope none of you are as messed up as I was. But I do know the when I then I syndrome will plague you until you begin to get your heart right and go, Lord, I'm going to be faithful where I'm at. It's okay to dream, but my dream, sorry, I'm going long. I love to vacation, but I found myself in the trap of dreaming literally daily about when I get to my vacation. And then you get home and you got to go, I need another vacation or else what am I going to? Now, I vacation. There's a purpose for when I get away to rest. But I have found myself in a healing process where I literally go, oh, my gosh, we're like leaving on vacation a week. This, what, already? But I used to live in, this is not coming. It's not coming quick enough. I don't know if I can make it. I'm gonna die. I used to try to recreate vacations in my backyard. It sounds funny, and it's okay to have some fun with that, but there was a deeper thing going on that I wasn't satisfied, and I was not okay. And so I was always thinking about the next, the later. Instead of going, this is like, look it. You know, look at the furniture God's blessed us with. These are the simple things, right? Instead of going home and going, oh, my stupid furniture. It's so ugly. And there's nothing, we all need furniture at moments, but I'm telling you, you know when it becomes something that you think, when I get new furniture, I will feel better. And everybody's experience, you're like 4 weeks later, well, what else do I need now? Because that only lasted for a short time. Instead of going, I'm at peace, because the rest of that Philippian scripture is all about, I have learned to be content in all things. Paul was writing that from a prison. When I have lots, I'm content. When I have nothing, I'm content. I am content in all things. He didn't need that level of resilience for that because he was content. He needed resilience for other things. Amen? Why don't you stand? And call me Shoeless Jay. If I could go back and tell myself this, you know, you have ever been asked that? What would you tell yourself if you could go back in time? If I could teach that message to myself, I would do it. I would totally do it. Because years of feeling less than, years of not measuring up, years of trying to get love, you know, whatever it is. But if I could tell myself this biblical key and go, You don't have to worry. You know, just be obedient and do everything you do with excellence and be comfortable and confident in that. Your life will be totally different. I would grab that. And I hope it doesn't matter what age you are, you can grab a hold of that. If you're young, grab a hold of it right away. Right away. Because that means that you could be walking around picking up garbage and whistling because you don't care. This doesn't define you. This job doesn't define you. You're doing what you got to do to make money, and it's not less than. Somebody's got to do it, so it'll be me. I'm going to be the best garbage picker-upper around. But that's what I determined to do. If I see garbage, I'm going to pick it up, and I don't want to leave garbage anywhere in this place because that's what I do for excellence. It doesn't define me. It's just simply who I am. It's my nature. I'm a person of excellence. It's totally different than needing their approval. I got to stop talking. So Lord, I pray that this would somehow get into every one of us, that we would move from when I, then I, to because you, then I am. Because of what you have done, because of the love you poured out on the cross, Lord, the line, there is no line because you are within us. Everything else we get to do is simply just being obedient. Lord, I pray that you would help somebody through that in this place. Help us all through that, that our value and our worth and our joy can come from you. Lord, we thank you for today. With a grateful heart, we say, Lord, thank you for showing up in this house. And we will just bless you and be grateful all day long. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at AntiochCanada.ca.